The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15 powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Crank up the radio.
Today is the day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Rich Eisen.
He's a different cat. He's a tea sipper that is in touch with his deep thoughts.
Rich Eisen.
Stop busting up my flow. All right.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college football analyst Robert Griffin III. Coming up, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, back from our dark week with a vengeance, and I don't know what that means. But we're back. We had a great week of resting up and getting ready for the second half of our sports season. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. We're all over the place. There's our podcast. We appreciate everybody. Check out our 3 hours of our show whenever you want to listen to it. And, of course, there's our YouTube channel for anything that you may miss. Go ahead and please follow that, as well as all of our social media feeds. We put out a ton of good entertainment related material on our Instagram and TikTok feeds over our dark week, and we can't thank everybody for taking that in enough. There was quite a smash hit some of our stuff, and we greatly appreciate it. 844-204-RICH number to dial. Joining us here to kick off hour number three in person with an outstanding NBA Jam t-shirt on is our friend from Sports Illustrated and DAZN, Chris Mannix. Good to see you, Chris. How are
I've got at least 10 of these, maybe more.
And it's a Gasol versus Siakam.
Siakam, yeah.
But it's not Pau Gasol.
No, it's Marc Gasol has been retired for a couple of years.
Yep.
And Pascal Siakam, who is now a member of the Indiana Pacers.
That's
so it's
right.
It's a vintage NBA. If NBA Jam's already vintage, but it's a vintage NBA Jam.
Vintage times two.
Yes.
All right. Last time we spoke with you, We knew LeBron was going to stay. We sensed it. He is. And Paul George is now a member of the 76ers. Let's take this one at a time. Why am I seeing LeBron's decision to stay being viewed as a pay cut? Why am I seeing that?
I mean, technically it is.
How so?
By a couple of million bucks. Really, it's a bookkeeping pay cut, right? Like the Lakers, because there are multiple tax aprons under this new collective bargaining agreement, and when you cross a certain tax apron, it becomes significantly more difficult to do deals.
Yes.
So not only does it cost you a little bit more money, it shrinks your ability to reshape your roster. So LeBron, in taking a couple of million bucks less on over the lifetime of this deal, keeps that Laker team under the first apron, which allows them to potentially make deals during the season. So he is giving the Lakers a little bit of wiggle room by giving a little bit of money back.
So he's giving a little bit of money back and the ability for some wiggle room. What are they going to do with this wiggle room?
It's hard to say because, look, the dust has largely settled on most of the deals in the NBA. When I talk to league executives now, the name that comes up most often is Lauri Markkanen in Utah. The Jazz may elect to move off him, and there are several teams
he's
that are...
He's a terrific player, man.
Terrific player. And I think the Jazz, knowing Danny Ainge, when you have a property like Lauri Markkanen and several teams anxious to get their hands on him, to keep up with this arms race that's going on, specifically in the Western Conference, you're in an advantageous position. The Knicks got five first round picks in exchange for Mikal Bridges. I would imagine that, or right around that, is the starting point for the Jazz with a trade for Lauri Markkanen. So people are talking about Markkanen. Markkanen has nothing to do with the Lakers. The Lakers are not getting a player of that caliber. What could happen is, you know, midseason, players break free, circumstances change, and the Lakers now have a little bit of flexibility in terms of what they can do according to the collective bargaining agreement with some of their draft capital and with some of their, you know, movable contracts, that they could make a deal around midseason.
So the Laker team, as currently constructed, heading to the thick of the summer season, this is the Laker team we're going to see for J.J. Redick in November?
I think it is October. What it is, Rich. I think, look, they were clearly more determined than most thought to not trade their draft picks. And if they were going to trade their draft picks, it had better be for an elite player, a guy that could fit their mold long and short term. Like, DeJounte Murray was someone that a lot of people around the league expected the Lakers to make a run at. They really didn't do that. They did make a run to try to sign Klay Thompson in the offseason. Klay elected to go to a team that was more championship ready in the Mavericks. But the Lakers don't want to just deal away picks into the 2030s. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about picks the Lakers would trade into the next decade that will hamstring them and their ability to build the team moving forward. So the Lakers, you know, they decide to sit back. You know, a lot of people are high on, you know, Dalton Knecht. You know, rookies don't generally make a big impact in year one, at least. So the team we saw last year with the Lakers is probably going to be the team we see this year.
Well, I mean, when Dalton Knecht got drafted, you want to go ahead and say what you were thinking when Knecht got drafted?
I thought it meant Reeves is out, because isn't Reeves being asked for in trade offers?
He's being asked for. The Lakers, from what I've been told, have been pretty resistant to dealing him. Mm-hmm. Look, he's, what, 25, 26 years old. He's a part of their long-term future as well. And the Lakers just don't want to sacrifice that just to get, you know, maximize one or two more years of LeBron James. They'll do that if it means getting back an elite player, but not a Zach LaVine, not a DeJounte Murray. They need more than what they would just consider, I think, a lateral move. So, look, what I love about the draft, just in general, is that we went into the draft, most people, saying it was garbage, saying it was one of the worst drafts we've had in years. Now that it's over, everybody's going to help. Everybody's going to be an impact player in this team. I think Knecht is obviously, he's obviously a shooter. The fact that he's, what, 22, 23 years old means he's more likely to be ready to play right away. But when guys fall that far, you start asking around, people are pointing to his defense and saying, you know, yeah, how much can you play him if he's not going to be a strong defender? That's where he's going to have to prove himself. I think his offense is going to be pretty good right away. But if he can't defend, and you're putting him out there with D'Angelo Russell and some other guys that aren't elite defenders, as a team, you're going to run into problems.
Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's move on to Paul George. Podcast P spilled some tea today. That rhymes.
That was great. I listened to that on the way in. It was phenomenal.
And his podcast, right? So let's take it, I guess, a step at a time. He's not on the Clippers now. Why? Why?
Paul George on his podcast gave one side of the story, right? Like, the Clippers have not confirmed anything that he said. But there's reason to believe that Paul George is telling the truth. I'm not sure why he would brazenly lie at this point. What he said was, last October, he was offered a two-year, $60 million extension that he deemed, I forget the word he used, insulting, just not the right kind of offer. When Kawhi Leonard signed his three-year, $150 million extension in, I think it was January, February, Paul George said, I would have taken that deal, that exact same deal, if it was offered. The Clippers, according to Paul George, never offered it. When he got to the offseason, and Paul came off a great season, 74 games, 20-something points per game, his efficiency numbers were terrific. He was as valuable in, you know, this past week when he hit free agency as he's ever been in his career. He says the Clippers came and offered 3 years, 150, but given that Paul George now had some leverage because he knew Philadelphia was sitting out there, he said, okay, I'll take the 3 years, 150, but you have to throw a no trade clause in. The Clippers said no. He said, okay, give me 4 years at 212, the same deal that the 76ers were offering. Clippers said no. So
why did they say no?
Well, the Clippers have been we talked about the aprons just a moment ago with the Lakers. The Clippers have been watching that as well, and they have got some big contracts on their books. Kawhi just signed a big deal, and if they had signed Paul George in the coming years, they would have been deep into that first or second apron. So they wanted to be able to increase their flexibility. So they wanted to try to get Paul at something of a discount. Paul wasn't having it. And look, sometimes you roll the dice in these situations. Paul George, by turning down the extension in October, he could have gotten injured. He could have had a bad year, but he had a great year. And he had one team out there in Philadelphia that he knew was always going to be out there with that type of deal. So to me, it feels like the Clippers kind of blew this a little bit, because now they're stuck with a team that, as I look at the Western Conference, it feels like the Clippers are a play-in team, right? Like, and that might be best case scenario. I mean, Kawhi Leonard was having an MVP year last year before he got injured in the second half of the season.
Right.
But he always gets injured. James Harden, another year older. What can you expect from him? And now the talent around those guys is kind of, you know, ish.
That's the thing I'm just stunned about, that we're talking aprons for a team owned by a guy who could probably, who's got the money if the fifth apron was, you know, Saturn.
Oh,
right. I mean, so why would he, with opening a new building and the Lakers are still the Lakers in this town, and the Clippers having an opportunity to hang on to somebody who, again, you know, we're waiting for Paul George to have that playoff moment where he just puts you on the back and he starts dominating in a way. I'll be honest with you, like Luka, we did at times this playoff season, Anthony Edwards, I could go on and on. Jaylen Brown, we haven't really seen that from Paul George. Now you could sit here and say, well, that's not his role. That's not, you know, that's not the team that he's been on or built. But we just, you know, that's what somebody who wants to command $50 million a year. That said, he's your guy. Who else is out there? You're looking now into the abyss of being a play-in team. I'm stunned that they're like sitting here talking about, well, the apron would be this. For Ballmer, really? Aprons?
It's not the money, right? Like, right. Steve Ballmer is the richest owner in NBA history. Like,
he could
be
the richest owner in all of North American sports right now.
Incredible.
But throw everybody in the mix.
It is a question of, look, the NBA, in its last two collective bargaining agreements, has done a fantastic job of legislating these big spenders out. You know, the last 6 years, there have been six different NBA champions, and that is partly due to the fact that the NBA is not allowing teams just to spend their way to success. And it's not just the Clippers that are facing this. Look at the Denver Nuggets. The last couple of years, how many veterans have the Denver Nuggets lost because they don't want to spend into these aprons? You had 2 years ago, you had Bruce Brown, you had Jeff Green. This past year, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he goes and signs with Orlando. Every team in the league is faced with these specific type of issues. The Clippers, they can obviously afford Paul George, and you make a good point. They want to have as talented a roster as possible going into this new building down the street.
Right.
But if you start spending all that money, all of a sudden you start hamstringing your ability to make other deals that can build a kind of winner around your team. Now, I'm saying that, but I'm agreeing with you. They should have spent the money. They should have offered Paul George the exact same contract they offered Kawhi Leonard back in January. And if it came to it this summer, they should have said, fine, 4 years, 212, we'll deal with the fallout later. Because by doing that, at the very least, you'd keep that window open for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to win a championship. Now, it is closed and probably closed forever.
Chris Mannix here on the Rich Eisen Show. What about the idea that the Warriors were going to acquire Paul George? What? I mean, he mentioned that on his podcast today. What reporting might you have on that front?
Yeah, this was something that was discussed at length over the last week or so. Once it became clear that Paul George and the Clippers were not going to get on the same page, the Warriors made a very aggressive push to get Paul George via sign and trade. They couldn't sign him outright. They don't have the cap flexibility. They made some offers. You know, they've got Andrew Wiggins' contract that could make it worth. They got some good young players. Jonathan Kuminga, I think, was the most appealing one.
He was offered
to the Clippers. I don't know that he was offered. I think that he's the one guy in that Warriors mix that they want to hold on to. Understandably so.
Yeah.
He's kind of got all-star written all over him. But ultimately, they couldn't come to an agreement. And you heard on Paul's podcast, he was disappointed by that. Like, Paul is a West Coast guy. Yeah, he played in Indiana. He played in Oklahoma City. He re-signed in Oklahoma City. But he is a Palmdale, California, Southern California guy. If at all possible, He wanted to find a way to stay on the West Coast. That's why the Warriors were his preferred destination. But once it became clear that the Clippers just weren't going to accept any of the stuff that Golden State was offering, again, he knew Philadelphia was out there. Philadelphia has one shot at spending all this money, one chance to blow through that $50 million. They are the Brewster's Millions of NBA teams. Nice. Just out there trying to spend what they had to spend. And, you know, Paul George ultimately, even though he probably, you can say with certainty, Philadelphia wasn't his first choice, he ultimately wound up signing there.
Huh. All right. So then let's talk about the Sixers. How's this going to work? What do you think?
I think it's going to work pretty well.
Okay.
You still have to worry about Embiid's, you know, physical condition, right? He is the linchpin to all of it. That being said, I mean, I've talked to enough people around Philadelphia to make me believe that next year, I hate using the phrase load management, but I think Joel Embiid's going to be load managed, right? He won his MVP. He's got his individual accolades. His contract is not in question.
Right.
I think he's going to be load managed well so that he's healthy, or try to keep him healthy going to the playoffs. Tyrese Maxey, we saw take a huge jump last year. He'll probably take another jump this year. And I think Paul George as a third option makes a lot of sense. Even if he's only getting the same looks that Tobias Harris got with that team, he's going to make more of them. And I think Paul George as a playmaker is better than Harris. And without the pressure of having to be the man, without the pressure to have to give you 20-25, have the ball in your hands down the stretch, I think he's going to thrive in that role. And some of the deals the Sixers have made after that, Caleb Martin, that's a great pickup. They've had a few other guys, Eric Gordon, around the fringes that they've been able to add to that mix. I think they've got a very, very good team that should position them right now to be number two in the East behind Boston.
So when does Morey get P.J. Tucker? When does that happen?
Hey, P.J. Tucker wants out. So, you know.
Hey, listen, can't quit him. No, but in all seriousness, I mean, you see Paul George going to the Sixers. You see Bridges going to the Knicks. DeRozan going to the Kings. That's a neat pickup right there, right? Who am I missing here? Murray goes to
New Orleans. That'll be interesting. New Orleans is another team that's not done yet. They've got to deal with Brandon Ingram. And look, there's some contractual issues there. I don't think they want to full max him out. Ingram, you know, smartly is looking to get that full max contract, but that's where they stand now.
Right. So the reason why I'm kind of going down this list here is I'm trying to see where the Celtics from their ivory tower got shaken over the last week.
I don't think they did. The Knicks made a bunch of moves designed to compete with Boston. They got a bunch of wing defenders. Bridges might be, if not the best, one of the best wing defenders in the NBA. That they did that. But, you know, of all the guys they signed, they still have, their starting lineup still only has four All-Stars or four All-Star bids on the team. And Julius Randle's got three of them. So like, it's still a team that may lack some of the offensive firepower needed to succeed at that level. Love Philadelphia, but want to see them play first. Celtics brought their top nine back, and they're all like, we just talked about the problems Denver's had over the last couple of years,
right?
Re-signing guys. The Celtics right now don't have that problem. A couple of years from now, maybe that's going to come up, but Jason Tatum back on a new extension, Derek White back on a new extension, all the core players under contract for at least the next couple of years. This is the Celtics window right now. I mean, I mentioned 16-3 in the postseason, rolled through everybody in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, there are probably Western Conference teams that could give Boston more of a fight than Dallas did. I think Oklahoma City, what they did, Alex Caruso, getting him via trade, getting getting someone to play alongside Chet Holmgren,
right?
I think is Isaiah Hartenstein. So getting him,
Josh Hart gave him a little bit of business on the old Graham too.
Well, those Knicks, they love to just talk to each other over and over. But like getting Hartenstein and getting Alex Caruso, those are moves designed to keep up with Boston. Caruso, great wing defender. Hartenstein, great rebounder. They were one of the worst rebounding teams in the league last year, so they could probably give Boston more of a run. But right now, the Celtics, you made them favorites before the offseason started. They're favorites again, I think, as the dust settles.
Yeah, and then, you know, Wick Grusbeck goes ahead and signs everybody and then puts the team up for market.
That's fascinating how that all played out.
Here's the way I look at it, though, Chris, is good for him. As opposed to, like, you know what? I don't want to, you know, make this franchise, or, you know, I don't want to... I want as much as I can get for this franchise, and I don't want to put all this on the books so somebody will say, I got to pay you less for the franchise because look how much money you just jacked up the cost of owning the franchise. Instead, he's just like, screw it. You know, like, I'm going to make the right moves for this team, I think. How many businesses do you see that skim the fat, if you will, before selling so they can make more money? You know,
I don't disagree with that, though. Why this team is being sold is still, I'm still not entirely clear, because in the release, it said in the first paragraph that the group that Wick Rausbeck is the face of was selling for family and estate planning. And Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, wrote something recently, and he kind of reported on some of the stuff people have been hearing for the last couple of weeks. The family ownership group, Wick's father actually owns, it seems like he actually owns a bigger chunk of the team, H. Irving Grausbeck, and he's, I believe, in his 90s at this point. So when they say family and estate planning, it strikes me that maybe it's other family members that are more interested in selling the team now than Wick is. Look, if you have listened to Wick over the last year or so, he, on multiple occasions, he has said the team is not for sale. If you watched him during the parade, like, that does not look like a guy that's eager to get out right now. So yeah, everything you're saying is true. Like, financially, right now, it makes the most sense to sell because the value is probably going to be well north of $5 billion, might even crack $6 billion, I would think.
I would think so too.
It's going to be a big number. So you sell at that level, and you avoid paying the luxury tax in the years ahead. But my read on it now is that it's more about other family members.
About dad saying, that I'm are 90 looking, and I'm it's time that telling his son it's too bad we're cashing out.
People in the family, like, that it's time to sell the team. Because, again, I just never got the vibe off Wick that he was ready to get out of owning the Boston Celtics.
Why can't Wick just buy out his dad?
It's a lot of money, man. This is why I say this all the time. Like, people talk about everybody wants to be an NBA, everybody wants to buy an NBA team. How many individuals have that net worth right now, or can even raise that type of money? It's $6 billion. Like, that's a lot of cash to have to put up for these NBA teams. That's why I brought up last week, like, the potential of a casino magnate coming in and buying the team. You just saw the Dallas Mavericks sold to the Adelson family, and they bought the team in large part because whenever Texas legalizes gambling, they want to build a resort casino somewhere in that Dallas area with the Mavericks as the centerpiece of it. In Boston, which is not a huge gambling, you know, area, there is a stone's throw from the Boston Garden, an Encore casino right down the street in the town called Everett, which is right next door. Could a casino magnate that it's owned by the Wynn, could a casino magnate like someone that owns the Wynn or involved with the Wynn step in and say, we want to buy the team, we're going to build an arena right there, and all of a sudden we're going to drive business to our casino? Sports gambling in Massachusetts is open for business. Like, it is, it's a thriving industry. So I think that that's certainly a possibility.
Keep an eye on Terry Benedict, I think is what
you're saying. Good Terry Benedict reference.
Very good. Before I let you go, what is the story of Summer League? What do you got? Is there one?
Bronny?
Is it really?
I saw the ESPN.com front page had Bronny on it for the entire day. Well, basically, I mean, that was amazing.
I didn't bring it up. I mean, my two cents is just like, 55th overall pick on Bronny, who cares? Go ahead. You know, for marketing purposes, for LeBron happy purposes, for the kid is hearing his name called purposes, you know, who cares? What does it matter? You know, and well, he winds up playing down the street here in El Segundo for much of the year.
Here's my only question.
Fine.
What does it matter? Why did he get so much guaranteed money?
I mean, second round picks do get that. If you know, they just don't get the fanfare often that Bronny's.
They get $5 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, look, several others signed. I can't remember their names off the top of my head, but they signed for around that. It's like a 3-year guarantee and then partials moving forward. The question that I have about Bronny, and that I'll wonder as his career moves forward, like, was it smart for him and his team to strategically place him in LA? Remember, they only worked out for the Phoenix Suns and the LA Lakers. Bob Myers, the former Warriors general manager, was on television during the draft saying that Rich Paul, the agent for Bronny James, was calling teams saying, do not draft him. If you do, he's going to go to Australia. So they believed, which I don't even know if that would even happen, but they believed that the best place for him was in Los Angeles playing for the Lakers and playing with his father. Certainly there are reasons that would be a good thing, but there are also reasons that getting the hell out of there and playing in like Oklahoma City or Milwaukee or Orlando make just as much sense. Get out of the fishbowl that's going to exist in LA. Because even if Bronny spends his entire year playing for the South Bay Lakers, the media scrutiny is still going to be intense. Still going to be a lot of people watching. And the second he, every time he's in that Laker locker room, people are going to be in there watching him when he's on the floor with his dad, watching him. I mean, he can do whatever he wants, and clearly they thought this was the right thing to do, but I wonder if playing in a far-flung, far-away market would have been a better call.
I don't know. I mean, and you may be right, but my opinion is that's their family decision. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And is it, if it, even if it is our business to even wonder about it, because what do you think? LeBron sitting down and saying, Bronny, this has been decided for you.
No. God, no.
You know what I mean?
No.
So the kid wants to play with his dad, maybe. Mm-hmm. And he's grown up LeBron's kid. He's probably used to fishbowls. Mm-hmm. He's probably used to all that. And if he's sick and tired of it, wouldn't he speak up and say, Dad, it is a dream, but, you know, hopefully maybe you play 4 or 5 more years.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to go start off on my own. Then Rich Paul would be telling teams, you know, outside. Rich Paul would be probably saying to Bronny, where do you want to go? Because we'll pull the Australia gambit to send you there, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
I'm only looking at this specifically as Bronny, the basketball player.
Sure.
Like, what is the best situation for his development? And you make a great point that he has been in a fishbowl his entire life.
Yeah.
And I thought LeBron said something really astute recently, like how many kids that grew up with the advantages that Bronny did turned out to be like it had the kind of work ethic you needed to have to become an NBA player.
Right.
Like, and he's not like blessed with the same kind of physique that his dad is. He's 6'2", right? He is an average size for a basketball player. So he had to work to get to the level where he'd be even considered to be an NBA draftee. So I give him a ton of credit for that. I just wonder, as you're trying to just simply focus on basketball,
right,
can you do that in this type of environment? That's my only question about this going in.
And you're heading to the Salt Lake?
The under-publicized Salt Lake City Summer League.
Who's there?
Philadelphia,
oh,
Utah,
okay,
staying at home, Memphis, and Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Yes.
And so the four of them play there as opposed to
Vegas?
They
play 3 days. No, they go to Vegas, too. Everybody goes to Vegas,
okay,
as well. But this is kind of weird. It's a little quieter than Vegas.
Right.
Still the same people there. But
very good.
Yeah.
I will look for your reports from there, sir.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in here. Good to see you. And let me know when you're back in town.
You got it.
That's Chris Mannix, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll come back. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Chris is going to the airport. We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Hey, everybody, this just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat. and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Good to see you, gentlemen, right here.
Very much. Good to see you, too, Rich.
Yeah, right back at you. Yeah.
Great to see everyone. Not just you, Rich.
I have a friend who, when he sees someone coming towards him, like in a room that he's supposed to know, he can tell, I'm supposed to know this person, but I don't. Mm-hmm. He goes, there he is. There he is.
How are you as a ref, though?
Strictly what's called an AR, assistant referee. So I'm the guy who runs on the sideline with the flag.
I thought AR meant whole ref.
Well, that's what...
The shorts are pretty short, too. I mean, they're stocked in length right there.
Look at that ample thigh.
That's a ham hock right there.
Look at that. That's ready for market.
So
you might want to smoke that for a couple days.
You guys want to slice?
Put some hickory around it. You know what I would genuinely love for you as a second career, if you ever decided you wanted a second career? Finally be a broadcaster. Be someone who's calling color. Right?
Rich, maybe you could give me a break.
I mean, that would boost ratings for whatever sport you were talking about.
What if I took over the Rich Eisen show? Yes. Ron Burgundy did help announce the national curling finals in Ottawa, Canada. And they had all these ads for Tim Hortons Coffee, which is a big coffee chain for our Canadian listeners. And I just kept saying, all the signage, I'm like, who the hell is Tim Horton? Who does he think he is?
Is there any possibility that we see a Step Brothers sequel?
We haven't never talked about this face-to-face in public.
No, we haven't.
Let's break some ground here. Are we going to do Step Brothers too?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Put up the Photoshop anyway.
Aww, you make sense in that world somehow, Rich.
Yeah, makes sense. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Fun chat with Mannix right there.
I like it.
Yep.
Honestly, let me just say it one more time, because the Bronny Mania will take center stage over the next few weeks, because it's summer league action.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, the last year the NBA summer league was, when is Wemby playing? Let's see what let's see what he looks like, and Scoot, and the rest of the big name draftees, and let's see what the kids look like when we can first see it. This year, there's really just not that much heat. As a matter of fact, the big college basketball story that with NBA ties to it today is UConn announcing Dan Hurley has signed a contract extension, 6 years, $50 million. So that's $20 million fewer dollars on a six-year deal than the Lakers offered. And Dan's going to stay put. That's how much it was worth to stay in Connecticut. If you want to put a figure on it, it's $20 million. He gets to stay put. His family gets to stay on the East Coast. He keeps his options open for the future, maybe for a better job in the NBA that people say the Lakers are not.
Like the Knicks.
Okay, or the Celtics, if that comes around.
Maybe.
Either or. He gets to keep his options open, and he gets to potentially etch his name, which is what you have to say, in the history books next to John Wooden as a three-peat coach. So that's the story. So clearly it's LeBron. And Bronny. It's going to be Bronny and LeBron. What is Bronny doing in summer league play? What is LeBron doing in the Olympics? That's what we're going to hear about over the next few weeks in the world of men's basketball. So let me just say this. Why do people get so upset that the Lakers drafted Bronny James if they did it for his dad, who is clearly a very important employee? Fine. Nepotism. Let me tell you something about nepotism in Los Angeles, California. It never happens. Hold on a second. I'm being told that's not the case.
This town wouldn't exist.
Are you kidding me? In this town? Nepotism. How do, next thing you're going to be telling me there's gambling in Casablanca. I'm shocked.
In this town, nepotism exists everywhere. How many aunts, sons, businesses are there in this country?
In this country, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Who cares? What? Why does anybody care that LeBron got his way again? He's in charge of the Lakers.
Because LeBron's so polarizing this side. Like, so many people have
get it.
This thing on LeBron. That,
who
like,
it, cares? I have, like, and it's just like, well, again, Chris Mannix just left here, and it very well-intentioned of him saying for his development as a basketball player, it might be better for him to have gone someplace where there isn't this fishbowl, there isn't this glaring spotlight on him because his dad is here. Well,
that place might not exist without his dad.
Well, let me just say this. I mean, do you think he sat down, Bronny, and mapped it out with Rich Paul himself? Or do you think LeBron mapped it out with Rich Paul and told Bronny, this is the way it is. I'm playing with you.
We don't know. And I think what people, the issue is that we're not fools. So to have both these guys come out and say, oh, we never talked about it. We never thought about it. And then Rich Paul is telling people to not draft him because he's going to the Lakers. It's like, dude, we're not idiots.
So stop lying
to us.
All right. So if that is the reason why there's pushback or gears grinding, is that, you know, you're being rained on and being told it's a different liquid that you're being rained on by than the one that you can sense that you're being rained
LeBron
on.
LeBron has done this his whole career, and now his son is doing it. It's like, come on, man.
So I hear you, but the whole other concept of it, like that he's taken up another roster spot for somebody, it's the 55th overall pick. We've already been down the road here. Who are the other 55th overall picks? Who cares? And there will be a moment this fall where Bronny steps on the court and either gets an assist from his dad or he assists his dad, and that'll be pretty freaking cool. It will be cool.
And look, people don't think Bronny's good or he deserves it, whatever. Guess what? In a couple of years, he'll be out of the league because he's not good enough.
Then we'll all go on with our lives.
Yeah, so be it. Who cares?
That is just the way I view this thing.
Like I said, there so many people have this. LeBron is so polarizing, right?
No, I get it.
And that's what it is. Half the people love him. Half the people dislike him. For me personally, no one's ever been under the microscope in sports like LeBron James has. And that dude's pretty much handled himself about as well as anyone could. Like, Chris, I know you have issues with things he says and does, but there was no blueprint for a 16-year-old on the cover of Sports Illustrated being told you're the next great thing. Like, one, how could that not go to your head? And two, like, he actually did it. He's 16. We're saying this guy could be the greatest of all time. And he did what was predicted of him. That's pretty amazing to me. And he did so without really a whole lot of, you know, no midnight calls about where's LeBron, no scandals about him for the most part. The guy's under a microscope. He can't do anything without someone having to comment or an opinion on it.
And let's just put a button on it this way, too. The alternative would be LeBron isn't as good as LeBron currently is. And the Lakers are keeping him around and paying him a cap hamstringing amount of money just so he can play with his kid, and the hopes that LeBron could capture that fountain of youth again and be as good as LeBron currently is, and he's not worth the contract that they signed. That would be now I would understand why people are like, oh God, what are the Lakers doing? But it's just the kid was there. He wanted to play with his dad, we're assuming. His dad wanted to play with the son, we're assuming.
It's never been done before.
Okay, it's never been done before. It is not the first draft choice. It's not like they passed on Dalton Connect to do this.
Right.
Who cares? Headline.
And what if he turns out to be Patty Mills and plays 15 years at that 50-50?
There you go. See, those are two things. One, good point. Two, TJ keeps his notes from 2 weeks ago right there in front of him. Other 55th overall picks.
That's right.
Well done. Right, well done, TJ.
It's not a game, Rich.
It's not a game. It's not a game.
It's
not a game. It's actually, it's not practice. This is the game, actually. This isn't the game.
I do this for fun, actually, yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. We'll sneak in some more phone calls. And I got a top five list.
Oh.
Top five underrated difference makers of the NFL season coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe, that's B-L-E-A-V, podcast, wherever you listen.
Again, we didn't create Ellie De La Cruz mania. We were just on it.
We were early.
As soon as it started.
Early, yeah.
All of us.
Early hoppers on the bandwagon.
Absolutely. If that's anything to be guilty about, as charged.
Love him.
Okay. Another thing to love about him is he learned English this offseason, or began to, because he wanted to make sure he could converse in our native language here in the United States. Yep. And apparently, though, this is how great he is. You want to talk about multiple tools. Apparently, he's now learning Japanese as well. And here's the reason why.
I'm learning Japanese to die to joy.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you learning Japanese?
Mm-hmm. I talked to Shelly.
I don't know if I'm going to learn, but I'm trying.
Yeah, a little Japanese.
There you go.
It's amazing.
So,
talk to Shohei.
You went to talk to Shohei when they're at the All-Star game together. Yeah. Pretty cool, right? Of course, a little too late to have headed the old interpreter thing off at the pass for Shohei. You know, it
would have been
nice if he had gotten up to speed a little sooner, like he usually gets up to speed. But other than that, I just love this guy, man.
Everything about him. He's striking out a little too much right now for my taste.
It happens.
I know. I think he leads the majors.
But then he gets on base. He's like Ricky Henderson.
Out. See ya. Boom. Gone.
See ya.
He will
honestly,
steal.
Honestly, he gets on. He will steal. Right?
Was he have 40-something right now?
It's awesome.
He will steal the base.
Bigger bases, baby. I told you.
Don't think it matters.
Absolutely does. Pitch clock and
don't think it matters.
Pitch clock and bigger bases.
Did you see Ellie went out? I can't remember which one of his teammates it was. I want to say maybe Fernando Cruz. I'm not sure, but he went and did a post-game interview with him just to make sure his English was okay.
Back with the Rich Eisen show right here. We're talking about Ellie De La Cruz in our commercial break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. All right. Where are we going to go here? What do you want to do here, Chris? I know which one I'm going to choose. Which one do you want to do?
Let's do the Pats.
Let's do it. Buccaneer Mike in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Buccaneer Mike?
Hold on a second.
I love it. Go for it. What's up, Buccaneer Mike? Oh, where are you?
Oh, no.
Buccaneer Mike, you've been hanging on for an hour and a half. You there?
Buccaneer Mike doesn't sound like a Pats fan.
That's what I mean.
I know, which is why I wanted to take him. All right, put him back on hold. Put him back on hold. I'm so sorry.
I don't like that.
Let's go to Mitchell in New Orleans. Let's go to New Orleans, Louisiana. What's up, Mitchell? How are you?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's going on with you today, Mitchell?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. You know, just trying to beat the heat.
How bad is it there?
Gosh, I can't. Oh, man, it's 95 every day around here, man. It's bad.
Okay.
Crazy humidity.
Now, Mitchell, yeah. Mitchell in New Orleans, I don't know if anybody did this while I was out of the chair with Susie, because I don't have anybody here in my win-loss booklet wanting to play the win-loss game for the Saints. Is Mitchell the first, Christopher?
He would be the first.
All right, Mitchell.
I got no Saints.
Oh, you want, let's see if the Saints are going to be as hot as the weather. Currently in New Orleans, Louisiana. Mitchell.
Let's go.
In New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Opening up in the Superdome against the Carolina Panthers. What happens?
Yeah, that's going to be a win.
Okay, and then you're at the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, in all reference to DJ, they're going to lose that game.
All right.
I like your style, Mitchell.
The 1-1 home for the Eagles.
Now, you know, this is going to be the turning point of their season, Rich, early in the year. If they beat Philadelphia, they can do something, but I don't think they are. That's going to be a loss.
Oh, bad turning points. 1-2 against the Falcons at home.
You're going to win that game.
Oh, they're at Atlanta. Okay, 2-2 at the Chiefs on a Monday night.
That's a loss.
Home for the Buccaneers.
They always lose to Tampa at home.
They're 2-4 home for the Broncos with Sean Payton coming back into the house.
He's going to beat Sean. He's going to lose his homecoming.
All right. 3-4 at the Chargers.
That's a loss.
3-5 at the Panthers.
We're going to win them again.
4-5 home for the Falcons.
That's another win.
Yeah. No matter how bad a season they may have, you're going to sweep the Falcons, yeah. Mitchell. You are a diehard, man. 5-5 home for the Browns.
It's going to be a win.
All right. 6-5 off the bye with a 3-game win streak home for the Rams.
That's a loss.
6-6 at the Giants.
That's a win.
7-6 home for the Commanders.
That's a win.
8-6 at the Packers on a Monday night.
Yeah, that's a loss.
8-7 home for the Raiders.
That's a...
Come on,
that's a win.
Yeah, Derek Carr's not losing that one, right?
Right.
All right. And now at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We're gonna beat them there and lose here, so that's a win.
All right. That's a 10-7 season. That might be a wild card, Mitchell.
Yeah, it might be, yeah. Either that or... My coach is going to lose his job. I can tell you that. I hope so anyway.
You know, it's kind of like a little gumbo right there. A mixture of excitement and optimism and pessimism and bitterness. It's kind of that's a nice little gumbo you got there, Mitchell.
That's the cycle. That's the cycle we go through down here, you know.
Mitchell, don't lose this number. Please call back. Thanks again.
All right, Mitch. Thank you.
That's Mitchell in New Orleans. Did I get that right? 10-7?
Yep.
Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 7.
I like Mitchell. He had a little Steven Dorff vibe with the
a little Cajun Dorff.
Yeah, a little Cajun
Dorff. You want to write that down?
Ready to roll on the Rich Eisen Show.
Steven Dorff.
Cajun Dorff.
Took a guess on that one.
That's a good one. By the way, what's it labeled?
What is that label? Ready to roll, but I couldn't see.
All right, very good.
Cajun Dorff.
Do you want to do my top five? Out the door.
Let's go.
All right, hit it. Top five. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
You know what? I'm going to do a top five, an NFL top five every day this week. I'm making this stuff up as
that
we go along.
That is a great idea.
Why not? Football season's right around the corner. Top five underrated difference makers of 2024. We're not talking about these guys. We should be a little bit more. Number five is the running back. Got a couple running backs on this list. Green Bay Packers. Josh Jacobs could make a big difference, folks. And that's what they said with all due respect to Aaron Jones. What if this guy who led the league in rushing 2 years ago and obviously got hurt last year, but maybe just wasn't rushing to come back knowing that he wasn't rushing for the Raiders anymore. I don't know. What if that Josh Jacobs from 2 years ago winds up right next to Jordan Love and the offense becomes that much more potent and he stays healthy? You know what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm putting down?
I feel you.
Josh Jacobs, number five on this list.
Josh Jacobs.
Number four. You know what? I was thinking of staying away from rookie quarterbacks because, you know, who knows how many are going to start? And who knows, you know, I'm not going to use any of the top picks here. So I'm going Bo Nix. I'm going Bo Nix right now. What if he is Sean Payton's Breeze 0.0. What if this guy who's played, I think I wrote it down here, he played 3,000 games in college.
I think that would be a record.
We don't hear it, right? Yeah. Or something, to use a Kenny Mayne phrase. What if Bo Nix shows up and is efficient and plays neck up really well and neck down really well?
Super accurate, no mistakes. Right?
And the Sean Payton offense comes alive a little bit?
It's really possible, yeah.
I don't know why this guy's sneaky. I think he's going to start week one. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback for this team this year. And I think he's going to get 17 games in, and I think this is going to be a nice marriage. I don't know why I got that feeling right now. Could be way off. Number three, we're forgetting about this guy running the football. Forgetting about him. Because we're all focused on, I guess, Josh Jacobs and Saquon. I was going to even throw Gus Edwards in there too, right? What if Zeke shows up like old school Tom? What if Zeke shows up like old school? Seriously. And we're all like all in this, all in that. Boy, they messed up on Derrick Henry, and it doesn't matter because Zeke shows back up and you're feeding him, and he's 21 of old. What about that?
He changed his number, though, right? Is he wearing 15?
Whatever.
I didn't know this.
Oh, is he going back to college?
I think so.
Whatever.
I hope not.
Well, by the way, his only championship was in that building.
Some of them already had 21, too, you know?
Dude.
What if?
Rich, we're not talking about
it.
He would make a major difference if he shows up like the Zeke of old, pal.
All I need is goal line Zeke, right? He's scoring like 10, 12.
Like Jamal Williams goal line, right? I mean, who cares?
Franco Harris goal line.
What if it's between the 20s, too?
Oh, baby.
Someone's talking about him.
He's back to 15.
Number two, staying in that state. This guy is one of the top sack makers in the National Football League, and the Houston Texans added him. Who's talking about Danielle Hunter being a difference maker?
Good call.
How about this guy chasing down for the Texans with Will Anderson in the mix and the rest of that defense, the way that they played last year? We're all focused on C.J. Stroud's second year while this guy showed up. No one's talking about Danielle Hunter in terms of a difference maker. He's number two, and here's number one on the list. Nobody's talking about him because nobody thinks this team could do a damn thing in the NFL this year.
That's where we're going.
I'm channeling my inner B-man. Stop it. Chris Brockman. Number one on this list is Kyler Murray.
Hey, I like this.
Kyler Murray.
I like
how the hell are they going to play? Marvin Harrison Jr., how good of a difference maker is he going to be?
Yep.
We get that. But what about this guy having a full offseason? He's fully healthy. If there's any chip on this guy's shoulder...
Right, like where your head's at, man.
And maybe he's looking over the steering wheel, and I don't know what his contract is and when the Cardinals might be able to cut bait if they're even thinking about that. But they stuck with this guy. You know, they stuck with this guy. So what if he shows up and he plays like Kyler's never played before and he takes a step up? How good can the Cardinals be? They were in every damn game last year but one, pretty much. Underrated difference maker.
We're picking on pew, 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 but he's a good coach.
Dude, they're buying. So that's my
one more.
All right, sure.
All right, we'll get one
more. And I'll throw this out there because even though he's rated right where he is, not talking about him enough, he's going to plus this team up.
Oh, gosh.
He's a neighbor across the street, Jim Harbaugh.
What do you mean?
Talking about him enough.
Underrated?
No.
Overrated?
Wrong. Everybody's talking about him. That's still not enough. Look at that smile. Look at him coming back into the National Football League. He's going to plus the Chargers up 6 or 7. And yes, everybody thinks he's nuts. He's crazy.
Schedule?
He's waking up crazy.
Yes,
he's staring at the
things.
Ceiling saying, you know what today is? It's today. We get it, Jim. Not talking about him enough. He's my one more underrated difference maker.
Are they 3-0 home for KC week 4?
Bro, I might play the Charger win-loss game tomorrow just because I'm already in. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes. Hey,
it's not your team. It's not your team.
Yes, that's Tuesday's show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast from season 4. I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.